Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame.
Crossover, step back! That's the buzzer!
Right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Franco, Chris Brame. It's The Crossover Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Plenty to get to today. Stick around until the end of the episode, because we have a very special announcement, which we are very happy to bring to you. So we will do that coming up at the end. Today's podcast, I told it to Brame on the way in to record it, very simple. We're going to talk about Justin Fields, and we're going to talk about the Dogs Hall on National Signing Day, actual signing day, the first day of the early signing period, whatever you want to call it. So we'll start with Justin Fields and the news that Georgia's backup quarterback for the majority of this season, really the whole season, is leaving, or at least pondering leaving, as he has put his name into the transfer portal that the NCAA has now.
Yeah, and, you know, Kirby talked about it yesterday, which was Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday after practice, which was also early signing day, which we'll get to in a second. And, you know, continues to say, I mean, he wants to try and get Fields to stay here at Georgia. That's why Fields is still at practice. It looks like Fields, the plan is for him to remain with the team and go to the Sugar Bowl, maybe even play in the Sugar Bowl. I would think it's still a strong lean that he is leaving, but, I mean, Kirby's not going to go down without a fight. But Georgia did sign one quarterback yesterday, and actually signed two quarterbacks yesterday, because there was the late word of Stet the Jet returning to Athens.
That's right. Yeah, it was Stetson Bennett coming back after his year down in community college in Mississippi. But, yeah, that was a weird one to hear. And then Georgia flipping the guy that was going to go to Ohio State. So, overall, I think that Georgia had a very good national signing day, and we'll get to that coming up. But for Fields, the thing that I find very interesting about all this is the fact that Georgia's talking about, like, letting him play in the bowl game and stuff, which, for me, is just very odd, because if he is actively looking to transfer, then what benefit does it bring to Georgia for him to play in this bowl game? And I can't really think of one. And some people have gotten at me with, well, they need a backup quarterback, and if Fromm were to get hurt, you need somebody else to come in. I said, well, they have Matthew Downing. I mean, I know that's not right, like your ideal situation, but, you know, Fields wants to go somewhere else. So if you're Georgia, I don't understand letting this linger over you while still having him involved getting ready for a game, when you could be getting, you know, Jake Fromm more snaps, or you know, with this whole thing, it's just weird.
Well, you know, maybe we'll see. Like, he'll go to the he'll go with the team and travel with the team to New Orleans, and he's been on the team all year, and he'll get the, you know, whatever the loot bag is that you get for appearing in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. You know, maybe when it, you know, when push comes to shove, we won't see him play at all in in the game. But I mean, I think Kirby's been pretty open here about, you know, yeah, he's exploring his other options right now, but I think Kirby's going to continue to try to put a hard sell on him and see if he can't get him to stick around. And he's got these next couple of weeks before the team gets to New Orleans to do it. And you know, I think he should, because why would you just want this kid? He's a tremendous talent to leave school and then, you know, go play somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, even if he goes to, like, Ohio State, I mean, there's a, you know, a good chance Georgia and Ohio State could be crossing paths. So, I mean, you don't want that, or Oklahoma, or wherever he ends up landing. And I think on the other side of it too, there's, you know, I mean, Kirby's stepping up here and not pulling like a Mike Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, like, one of my favorite things was Gundy with those couple of his guys that are skipping the bowl game, and he, you know, says that they're not going to play in the game because they're off to pursue other interests. But I think, you know, if Kirby is, you know, you're going to want to continue to sign these elite prospects, and if, you know, there comes a time when one of them is going to want to leave or something. I don't think you want to be petulant about it, because I think down the road that could impact you and, you know, and affect you negatively in recruiting. So I think the way he's handling this, I applaud him, because he's, you know, he's acting like a man.
Well, right. And look, the way that they handled it, you know, in terms of how it affects UGA, it's like you're saying, you know, they're playing their cards right, because Fields may stay, you know, and all this. And that, I don't think that's going to happen, because I think you've gotten to a point now where, not that the bridge is burned, but, you know, it just feels like it's probably better for both sides. You know, for Fields to go try to compete somewhere else, and for Georgia to move on, and they certainly did. And for them to react as quickly as they did, as soon as they got kind of wind, and look, I'm sure Coach Smart and the coaching staff had this in the back of their head for a while, because it's always a thought you got to have that if a guy's not playing, he may want to transfer. So I think they've had this on their brains. But for them to react as quickly as they did, as soon as Fields went to them and said, hey, I'm going to put my name in the portal and kind of look and see what my options are, for them to scramble and to flip a kid from Ohio State in the short amount of time that they did, a four-star quarterback, the nation's number two dual-threat quarterback for the 2019 class, for Georgia to flip him that quickly is remarkable.
And apparently this kid has a teammate right now who will be a part of next year's class, who figures to be one of the top offensive tackles in next year's class. So
double duty.
Yeah, I mean, it could end up being a nice little two-for-one or a package deal here. But, yeah, I mean, Kirby is – it's – you know, so many times these coaches, they get all up in arms and they don't like the guys transferring. And I see, I mean, because they're in the job. They've got to manage their rosters. And if guys are leaving, that leaves them shorthanded. And, I'm, you know, maybe in the backs of their minds, they're thinking, listen, I've invested some time in developing this guy, and now he's going to go off and he's going to play someplace else. But I think when you're in the business that Georgia's been in now, these last three recruiting cycles where Georgia signed no worse than the third best class in the country, if you want to continue to do that, I don't think you want anything that, you know, is a stain on your reputation with some of these premier prospects that, you know, I think they're going to want to believe, like, all right, if I'm going to sign with you, I'm going to go in there and have a chance to play. But if I don't make my way up the depth chart and I could go play someplace else, you know, I want that freedom to do that, not have the coach there that's, you know, going to be all ornery about it.
Well, and I love it, people, too, from, like, kind of the old school or the older school or whatever, that are like, oh, it's these damn millennials. They're entitled. They feel like they can do whatever they want and all that stuff. And, you know, I would have never done this in my day, or DJ Shockley didn't do it and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. DJ Shockley didn't have the opportunity to do this because of the way that the rules are set up now. Back then, Georgia could have blocked where he went. Georgia could have done a lot of things to put hurdles in his way. So it'd be interesting to ask DJ Shockley now. It's like, well, if the rules that we have in place now had been in place back then, would you have stayed at Georgia? Well, and it's just one of those things where, and also people try to put themselves in Justin Fields' shoes, like, I wouldn't have done that. You don't know. Like, you can't say that for sure until you're in his situation.
No, or all these people that, if he was my son, I would talk to him about honoring commitments and being
a
man.
Damn break.
And I wonder, did those people, would they have had that conversation last year with Demetrius Robertson?
Exactly.
Because that's where, I mean.
Honoring his commitments.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to take on Maurice Smith. We're happy to take on J.R. Reed.
Even
we're happy
Roquan. I mean, you know, with his commitment to UCLA in the beginning and then switching because of, I know that's not the kind of the same, but still, I mean, he was committed somewhere else.
Yeah. Now, he was lied to, though, because that defensive
coach.
Coordinator left he's with the Falcons now, right? But
one of the best moves the Falcons have ever made.
Oh, you tremendous. But, yeah, but so anyway, I mean, like, the last couple of years, we've been more than happy to take on, you know, transfers or whatever, but, you know, some people do. I think it's still, I mean, it's a small percentage of the fan base. I mean, I think, you know, most people I run into are pretty you know, level-headed and reasonable, and it's
like to think.
Yeah, I mean, you're, you know, it's just like, yeah, I mean, I'd rather him stay, but I completely understand why he wants to go. The guy was the you know, either between Fields or Trevor Lawrence last year, those were the top two recruits in the country. And, I mean, Fields could go anywhere and play, but right now he's deaf. I mean, he's trapped behind Jake Fromm on that depth chart, and Fromm isn't going anywhere.
Well, the crazy stat was from ESPN and their ESPN 300 era, which started in 2006. Either the number one or number two quarterback from that number has transferred every single year.
Yeah, I saw that list the other day. I think we were rattling it off.
We were talking about this when you and I were at the Blind Pig for signing day, and we'll get to Georgia's Hall in a minute. But that's just remarkable to me, and it just kind of shows the mentality has definitely changed from where it was, you know, years ago. And you know, quite frankly, more power to these kids, because the NCAA is as bunk of an organization as exists in sports, professional or otherwise. And for them to have taken advantage of these athletes for decades and decades and decades, and, you know, the athletes kind of finally waking up and being like, hey, we should probably have some more rights here. You know, again, you can say all you want how you would have done, or this would have, I would never have done this, right? Until you're in the situation and have the same rules that the players have now, I mean, you can't say that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate probably what Justin Fields is thinking. I wish he'd stay here.
Of course,
but, I mean, you know what? He doesn't owe me anything. So,
exactly.
But we'll see. I mean, I do. I think Kirby though is handling it well, because sometimes you just so often see these coaches are so spiteful with these guys, and there is that attitude of like, well, if he's not wanting to be on the team, cut him loose. He's a cancer. He's a distraction. But I don't know. A, how his teammates feel about him, but you know, B, I think we kind of gotten a sense at least what his coach thinks about him, mm-hmm. and his coach is at least publicly, you know, seems understanding, and is bit has said, I'm gonna it's not cut and dry, I'm gonna try and keep him here.
And all that being said, this situation just is so weird to me, because that video came out, I think it was Zach Klein from WSB that published it initially, of Fields on the field after the game against South Carolina, and he said, man, I handed the ball off really well or whatever. And it's like, if he already had that attitude in week two, I mean, that might not be the best thing. And it might be, like I said a minute ago, better for both parties if he goes somewhere else. If his heart's not here, then he should go somewhere.
No, I mean, he definitely appeared frustrated in that, and I don't know how much behind closed doors the team knew about
two.
It.
That's only week
about
two.
I know. I mean, I don't know. Listen, it didn't affect Georgia negatively, because the Dogs had a heck of a season. But, you know, moving forward next year, I will say, I mean, silver lining if he's not here is we won't have these situations where, I mean, he would just pop into games at random moments.
Ugh, maddening. But all that being said, I think one thing, too, about this situation, again, it's kind of like, why did he even come to Georgia if he didn't, you know, think he was going to compete or whatever? And maybe he and Jake Fromm had a discussion, and Fromm let him know that, hey, I may come back for my senior year too. I don't know. We'll find out. So there could be a lot that goes into this. But one thing, too, that a lot of people have jumped on is Justin Fields possibly using the Adam Sasser situation as his hardship, quote-unquote, to be able to play immediately next year. And I only really have one comment to say about that. I'm white, so I don't really have a comment on it. Because, look, I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to be Justin Fields. And to, I know he didn't hear it specifically, but to hear about not just a student, but one of your fellow student athletes, a guy that you probably have to at least see more than you would see a random other student, because he's an athlete. So just the possibility of you running into him and all that stuff, for one of your fellow athletes to use those kind of words and racial epithets in talking about you, I don't know what that would be like. I don't know how I would feel about that. So, again, I can't speak to that. I don't have that perspective. So, for Justin Fields, while some people are out there saying he's just using that, he doesn't actually feel like he's threatened or scared or whatever, and it's like, you know what? Again, I said this earlier about the NCAA. It's a pretty corrupt organization, so if you can find a way to game the system, I'm just going to say more power to you, because I don't really have anything else to say.
No, and that's probably what is in play here. And look, I mean, Fields he's got this lawyer who helped
Shea Patterson
get his eligibility last year. You know, he's got parents, and I mean, I don't know how much of this is, you know, was Fields the one that stood up like, I'm aware of this loophole where I've got this hardship and I want to use this.
Right.
I'm sure like it's the
somebody else found.
Yeah,
out.
It's the older people in the group and the attorney that are figuring this out. I mean, they are representing him, so. If there's any criticism of it, I mean, certainly some of it should come his way. I mean, I do feel bad for Georgia on that front, because I thought they handled that Adam Sasser situation well.
I don't think they could have done anything different.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just putting them in a tough spot, because they'll look bad even if they try and attempt to even fight this now. So it's one you probably just have to let go. And I would imagine that if that is the route that Fields and his attorney and his family go, that he'll probably be successful and end up getting to play next season. And I know, I mean, the counters to that argument too, people will also point out that he does have a sister who's currently on the softball team. If, you know, his family feels like Georgia's such a bad place with for student athletes or whatever. But nevertheless, again, I think Georgia's handling this well. And I don't think that, you know, you want to publicly put up a big fight, even if it comes to that. Because, again, it's all about the big picture and recruiting. And I don't think you want to have anything that could be potentially used against you and paint you in a negative light with future recruits. Because, as we saw yesterday, Georgia wants to try and sign every five-star possible. I mean, it's a class that there was only one three-star that's even on the board, and that's Plumlee. Out of Mississippi.
And he's not even like, signed.
Yeah, I mean, but like every player Georgia signed yesterday was either five or four stars.
Just incredible what the Dogs were able to do, and we'll dive into that here in a second. But one last kind of parting shot here, I guess, on Adam Sasser. It just stinks because, A, what he said doesn't embody or doesn't represent what the vast majority of students at Georgia feel. He's just a racist idiot who said something he shouldn't have. And, you know, obviously there was alcohol involved here, and he might come out, oh, how dare you call him a racist? How do you know? He just said one bad thing. Dude, alcohol, a.k.a. truth serum, when you're spouting things out of the top of your lungs when you're drunk, it's usually not things that you don't feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, to yell that out in public.
Yeah, not just in public, but around 90-plus thousand people.
I'm going to guess that's not the first time he's ever yelled that.
I am going to agree with you.
But what, I mean, it was like days later that he was, it wasn't like some long drawn
out
two days later they
kicked him off on campus.
That game was on a Saturday, obviously. Was it like the next Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it was like Monday or Tuesday when they announced he was gone. So, again, Georgia did a great job in handling that situation, but it really does bother me that one racist idiot is basically the reason that this is happening. So, it's just bizarre, but hey, again, I don't know what that would be like. So, Justin Fields, more power to you if this is the thing you use to go somewhere and be a starter. But looking forward to players that are going to be here, the 2019 class, as Brame just alluded to, incredible for Georgia. Only one three-star, not even a signee. So, all the players that Georgia signed, all, I guess, 21, are either four- or five-star recruits, which blows my mind. I know Alabama ended with a number one class, but they have two less five-star recruits than Georgia does, and they just have more numbers. I think they signed 25 kids, which, you know, these things change from year to year depending on what you need and the numbers and how all that works out. But Coach Smart even said that, you know, January 5th, that day coming up with the Army All-American game, and I think the Under Armour All-American game is like the 3rd. So those days, Georgia has some room for some guys, and they're still going after some guys.
Yeah, I think we've got we'll have two more openings because, you know, Stetson Bennett now, I guess, has taken one of them. But Georgia, if they get Tyreek Stevenson and if they get Jaden Hazelwood, then Georgia will welcome them. And I'm going to guess, too, Georgia's going to want to leave a spot in case Aubrey Solomon does decide that he wants to end up coming and playing for Georgia after all. But other than that, I mean, we're done. So there's those two guys left, so I mean, that signing day in February, if it's even still signing day, I don't think anything's going to be happening for Georgia then.
By the way, I got to bang a 30 real quick. Tyreek Stevenson pissed me off yesterday because he was the one who had that video. You and I were trying to watch it as we're wrapping up with the Blind Pig, and he never announced. And when he finally did announce, he announced that he's not announcing.
Right, which was what we believed all along.
Right.
That he wasn't announcing.
But then he comes up and says, he has this announcement. Like, oh, maybe he'll announce. And then he said, no, I'm not announcing.
Yeah.
And what the hell, man?
It was just like a parade of these guys that were like, I'm assuming
a bunch of coaches and stuff,
the principal, and they were just passing the mic, and then they handed it to him. I mean, I did. I swear, I was sitting there. I wasn't listening to the audio, so I have no idea what they were saying. But I went, you know what? I hope he does not come to Georgia.
I know, that's the thing, man. Like, if you have all this stuff, and like, we'll get into something that Trey Sanders, who actually chose Alabama over Georgia, said in the immediate aftermath of his commitment, which kind of makes me glad that he's not coming here. But again, like, for all this pomp and circumstance and all this stuff that happens in these things, it's like this guy had a bunch of people talking and all this stuff, and then he grabs a mic just to announce that he's not announcing today?
Right, yeah.
The hell out of here.
It annoyed me too, but I would like to correct the record and say, like, I would gladly welcome Tyreek Stevenson if he wants to come to Georgia on January 5th. But yesterday, yes. He did annoy me.
Yeah, exactly. And getting to what Trey Sanders said, and that was a big battle there between Georgia and Alabama for him that went down to the wire, apparently, as Sanders had apparently told some Georgia coaches or something like the day before the Tuesday that he was coming.
He was tweeting a couple of guys that, like maybe Nolan Smith or somebody, about y'all got any room left in that class, and he was just making it really – And I smelled a rat, though, with him that I just wasn't buying
trolling.
It. Yeah, I wasn't buying it, and it turned out that I was justified to not believe in him coming here because I saw the tweet, too, where he said something later where, if y'all got a problem, you could find me at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Oh, brother. Yeah. But the worst thing I heard him say yesterday was, oh, I'm going to win the Heisman next year.
Oh, yeah, as a freshman.
And then he also...
What does Tua think of that?
He sort of backtracked a little bit, but it wasn't a good backtrack. He's like, yeah, I'm going to win the Heisman. He goes, I guarantee I'm going to be a finalist in New York. So he like backed it up. So he's guaranteeing he's going to be a Heisman finalist next year. Dude, you haven't even touched a football at Alabama yet.
Well, that's the thing, because and you probably have already like alienated your quarterback because Tua is like,
no, I'm going to win the Heisman, Chief.
Yeah, you're going to win the Heisman. I was just the runner up.
Yeah.
And should have won it, maybe. You know, right? There was still an argument that he should have won the Heisman. So, yeah, that's probably why he backtracked a little bit. Oh, well,
it wasn't even like a backtrack, though. He's like, I'm going to win the Heisman. I guarantee I'll be in New York for the. So it's like, even like, so obviously Dave is out for the remainder of 2019 or 2018, rather, excuse me, on the morning show. And Logan and I were talking about this. And Logan goes, but how would you have felt if he had said that in a Georgia, you know, if he had been wearing like a Georgia hat or Georgia shirt when he said that? And I said, you know, honestly, obviously, it's hard to say for sure, but honestly, I still don't think I would have liked it. It's like, dude, you haven't even touched a football yet, and you're already saying you're going to win the Heisman and or at least like, be a finalist for it as a freshman. It's like, dude, dial it back.
Yeah, I believe I probably would have felt the same way, especially knowing that, like, well, you know, you got Fromm already here.
Yeah, we've got Swift and Holyfield in front of you.
Yeah, you know, just be careful about, because these are your, like, new teammates or whatever.
Well, like Zamir White, who's never even touched a field at Georgia yet other than a practice field.
Yeah. And that's probably – plus it's, you know, the idea, too, of the Heisman is, like, it's an individual award. And it's like,
so you're already concerned yourself, with those individual accolades, yeah, and, again, you haven't even played yet.
Yeah, you're putting yourself ahead of the team. And, yeah, I'm going to tell you, that's one that I'm not. He's the nation's number one running back. We'll be fine at that position. I know we signed Kenny McIntosh, so we only got one in this class. But
well, Trey Sanders is signed with Alabama now. His paperwork came in late overnight, so apparently some people were kind of worried about it. But you know what he went from there? He went from being the nation's number one running back to Nick Saban's bleep. Like, that's what he is now. Like, he's Nick Saban's puppet or toy or whatever. And you're not the nation's number one running back anymore. Because you know why? You've got players at Alabama that are in front of you on the depth chart.
Yeah, he probably sent his last tweet yesterday too, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so the situation changes completely to where these kids go from being one day being these, like, the Nick Saban and the coaches that he talked to and he became familiar with before he signed with Alabama, those people are dead. Because as soon as you step on campus, nobody's going to be nice to you. You think Nick Saban's going to like bend over backwards
right,
like he did when he was trying to recruit you? No, because he's already got you signed up.
No, they're the same people, but they're not. You're like, wait a second. You're not the guy who was in my living room a couple of weeks ago.
You're not the guy that was eating dinner with me and my mama.
No, you're not. So, yeah, I look forward to in the SEC title game next December, N'Kobe Dean slapping Trey Sanders back to the Heisman ceremony.
Yeah, I look forward to the SEC championship game next year, Trey Sanders getting like three carries, because that's probably what's going to happen, because he's going to be a freshman with other very talented backs in front of him in the pecking order,
though. Yeah, and arguably the best quarterback in the country.
Absolutely. And play, I mean, he's not even going to be – look, he says he's going to be a finalist for the Heisman. He's not even going to be a third-team All-SEC. I'll guarantee you that.
Well,
because there's so many running backs that are better than him already in the conference.
Well, Swift is the best. He's definitely number one next year.
I say Swift
ahead.
And Holyfield at Georgia are better than him.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Holyfield's good.
You got Harris.
Najee Harris,
because Damian Harris will be gone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got Najee Harris at Bama.
Snell's gone.
Benny Snell will be gone, but you got plenty of other good running backs at Bama.
Could have John Emery at LSU tearing it up.
You could, but he's a freshman too, so I'm not going to give him all these plaudits yet. But the bottom line is, when you're coming in with that much swag into the SEC, the toughest football conference in the country, the conference that just had 11 of the top 25 recruiting classes in the country, that which is a crazy number, by the way, you're not just going to roll in here and be, you know, all that in a bag of chips.
Well, and look at the potential future front seven Georgia signed yesterday, too. The defensive line.
You talk about the defensive line. That's what Georgia corrected.
And those linebackers, too. I mean, depending on where some of those guys, you know, Nolan Smith, Jermaine Johnson, you know, they line up as edge rushers or whatever.
I'll say Nakobe Dean was one of the biggest gets I think Georgia's gotten in a while. A, because you're still looking to replace Roquan Smith, that just stellar inside linebacker. And Georgia got good play from their inside linebackers this season, but obviously it wasn't Roquan level.
Yeah, no, that was a huge get. And a day that was obviously great, but it lacked that, like, that punch because...
Well, there wasn't any drama, really, just because everything came in so quickly and Georgia's commits stayed committed.
Exactly.
Nobody flipped.
Like, a year ago, there were a couple of, like, those 50-50 guys, and every time you looked up at the TV when one of them was making an announcement, they were throwing a Georgia hat on or something. And so there was, like, a lot of, like, buzz and excitement a year ago. But yesterday, yeah, it was just, like, we had 19 guys committed and 18 of them signed pretty fast, with Plumlee being the one that's... You know, I guess he wouldn't be signing anyway, since the idea with him might be the blue shirt.
Right.
So he would just show up and not actually sign. But, then the day went on and there were a couple of guys. I guess we got Dwan Mathis, which was a surprise.
Huge one.
No one was expecting that. And then you had those three guys in the afternoon starting with Sanders. So after missing on Sanders, maybe it felt like it was a little bit of a buzzkill.
Well,
but
it felt like Dean. Well, Neal, was it Evan Neal?
Yeah.
Not getting him. You kind of felt like when Sanders went with Alabama that Neal was going to go Alabama too, because he was another IMG Academy guy, and they kind of felt like they were almost a package deal there. But to get Nakobe Dean was incredible, just because, A, it just shows how national this recruiting has become. I mean, Georgia had more out-of-state signees than in-state signees yesterday.
I think from 10 different states.
It was like Minnesota, Tennessee, Michigan, but going to Mississippi. So you're having to go across the state, Alabama, that you're competing with the best school in that state, Alabama, to get that player. So you had to go across Alabama and into Mississippi to get that player out. And to get him over Ole Miss in Alabama, that's good work.
Well, don't forget LSU, too.
Them
that's
two.
Sitting right there, because his teammate went to LSU.
That's right, the guy that did the dress. Yeah, he put on the purple.
He was an athlete, but I think he's going to play cornerback for LSU. And then Dean came here, and Dean is a smart kid. He's got a 4.0 GPA.
He wants to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I think?
He also said he wanted to be an engineer, and I went, whoa, wait a second. You did commit to the right Georgia, right?
Well, here's the thing, though. What does Georgia have that Alabama doesn't? A medical school. So if he wants to be a doctor, that's big.
Yeah. We also have an engineering school.
So. I don't know if Alabama has one of those or not, but I did look into it. You know where the University of Alabama's medical school is? At the same school that they tried to get their football program shut down.
UAB?
Yes.
Okay.
Imagine that.
Well, anyway, so Dean's a bright kid, and we're going to be playing in the middle there on that defense and, you know, making the calls. That was the element with Roquan, who was a sharp player as well. So, yeah, that was a huge, huge get there. And the defense really upgraded, yes, especially on the defensive line, just adding, I mean, really much-needed depth, because there were, like, up front on defense this year, they were good players, but they were kind of thin up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, how many guys were just injured, too? I mean, losing David Marshall for most of the season. I mean, Daquan Hawkins-Muckle was gone all year, too. So, you really lacked a lot of depth there. And I think Georgia defensively is going to want to run a lot of different guys on and off the field on that defensive front.
Well, and even like with the guys that are still out there, for a Jaden Hazelwood, for example, if Georgia gets him, that's awesome. You got two five-star receivers in your class with Blaylock and him. But if you don't get him, well, you still got Blaylock, you still got Mekhi Tongue, and you're feeling pretty good about things. So
yeah, I mean,
it's almost like that would be just icing on the cake.
Yeah, I mean, whatever Stevenson and Hazelwood decide, if they want to come to Georgia, certainly the two scholarships are there. Kirby's not going to tell them that they can't come, but Georgia right now got the second best class in the country. I don't think it's going to change, and yeah, I think the biggest deal here for me is what – you know, Georgia did up front. The two crown jewels of the class are Walker and Nolan Smith.
Mm-hmm. And again, I mentioned Mekhi Tongue there. In terms of Georgia got some good names in this class, too.
I like Mekhi Tongue. Like Nakobe Dean.
Nakobe Dean. Those are some good names. But
you had Roquan and then Nakobe as middle linebackers.
That feels good.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, last but not least here on this edition of The Crossover, Brame and I have a huge show announcement. This is our last podcast without a sponsor. We'd like to thank Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, who will be our title sponsor as of January. So we are very much looking forward to that. Very appreciative of them for jumping on with us, and very very excited to see what the future brings with them. And look, you know, this is a hot take. Pizza is good. So if you go if a place where you can you know tell them you're listening to the crossover, and then maybe they'll take care of you. But Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, they are the first sponsor, so we appreciate them for going on this journey with us.
Yeah, they've got you know, like pizzas that with names like the Walter White. They have one too called the Home Team, which I always like to think is named for
there you go
our show in the afternoon. I mean, we need to get them to name a pizza after us.
Maybe we can get a crossover pizza. We'll definitely have to jump on that for sure. But yeah, go over there and get yourself a nice Home Team or a Walter White. And look, they're a place where you can go watch the game. They're a place you can go take the family. It's a I drove by there the other day. Pretty cool looking spot. So head on over to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen and support those that support us.
Yeah, we appreciate them and look forward to I think we have to do some kind of a pie where like half of it is loaded with something you want and then the other half is loaded with something I want, and there's your crossover.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to get them to that. That'd be great, like a half and half. Yeah, that'd be great. And then
with me, I'm sort of boring when I like just cheese pizza, to be honest.
Well, yours could be extra cheese, and yeah. You know, we could see what we can do, but the possibilities are endless. And hopefully we'll be able to work it. Maybe we can do a live crossover at Fully Loaded. We'll have to work all these things out as we go forward into 2019. But 2018 has been a great year for us here with the crossover. We thank you guys for listening. And, you know, look, if there weren't listeners out there, we wouldn't be bringing on sponsors because, you know, there wouldn't be any reason for you to sponsor us. So you guys are a big reason why we've been able to get Fully Loaded on board.
So here's, as we wrap up, what's the first big topic we're going to have in 2019? So whatever day, I guess it'd be January 3rd if we recorded on that first Thursday.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be... Georgia winning the Sugar Bowl. That'll be our first big topic.
Because I was like, what about, are the Falcons going to have two new coordinators? Is Quinn going to fire
Manuel?
Yeah,
it seems like that's the case. And this really stinks, too, for the Falcons because Cam Newton's going to be shelved for the rest of the year. So the Falcons are going to go play the Panthers this weekend, and Cam Newton's not going to play.
I know.
So it's like, oh, man.
So the Falcons are going to end up like, with not as...
I think right now they have the 6th pick. They'll probably end up at like 8 or 9, which is terrible. It's like,
well,
come on,
even if they win out, they're 7-9, right?
Right.
Yeah, the best they could do is 7-9.
So that would be like the 10th pick or something.
Yeah.
Like that, which,
but still, it'd be better if they were picking 5th.
Well, and they're playing Cam Newton without, or playing the Panthers without Cam Newton, and they're playing the Bucks in the last 2 weeks. It's like, damn it. Like,
I know.
Why couldn't this?
Yeah, they're both on the road. I mean, they could lose. Yeah, maybe they could lose one of them.
I guess.
They're 6-10.
But, I mean, a Cam Newton-less Panthers.
Well, yeah, like the Panthers, they looked like they had quit anyway, even
exactly.
With Newton. Were they 6 straight losses?
Yeah, so not great. All right, for Chris Bram, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen for jumping on with us. We cannot wait to start that sponsorship with them next year. But for the final time in 2018, you've been listening to The Crossover right here on 960theref.com. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year, and all that good stuff. We'll talk to y'all in 2019.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brain on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.